This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. 72 hours, plus or minus, to the first presidential debate Monday night. The economy is going to be at or near the top of the list of things moderator Lester Holt is going to be asking Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton about. And if history is any guide, he's going to start his economic questioning with global trade and America's place in it. Dan DiMicco is the former chairman and chief executive of Nucor Steel. That is one of the world's biggest steel companies. He is the senior trade advisor to the Trump campaign. Mr. DiMicco, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Pleased to be here.
Mr. Trump has said on more than one occasion that he wants to renegotiate the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, and failing that, he would pull out. What do you suppose he would replace it with? Has he told you?
I think the idea here is to replace, if it was got to the point where we weren't able to renegotiate. The idea would be to replace it with another agreement that was more favorable to this country and to our workers and our domestic-based manufacturers. And no one's ever gone back and said, hey, let's renegotiate up until now because, and they should have, because it has not worked out in our favor. You've heard just recently about United Technologies moving a couple thousand jobs down there. Ford is going to move all its small car production down there.
So let me stop you right there, sir, and just on the Ford issue, because Ford has said it's not going to lose any jobs in the United States because of that deal, and that what it's going to do actually is make higher margin trucks at the plant in Detroit, where it's no longer going to make those small cars. The question, though, is what is Donald Trump going to replace NAFTA with? Because negotiations go both ways, right? And if Mr. Trump wants to be harder with Mexico, then Mexico, in theory, would say, well, no, that's not in our interest. So, again, what will Mr. Trump replace NAFTA with?
Well, first off, it will be in Mexico's best interest to renegotiate the deal. But if what you're saying is that, okay, everything goes bad, there will be no NAFTA.
And there will be then, what, 35% tariffs?
There's plenty of trade that goes on between nations that do not have trade agreements. The United States and Japan is a good example. So the issue that there has to be a NAFTA, it's not true. But that doesn't mean that Mr. Trump doesn't want to have a NAFTA. He just wants to have one that works for us as well as it works for Mexico.
Do you suppose, Mr. Trump, in talking about levying 35% tariffs, as he has said he would do on the Ford products, just to get back to that example that you raised, the small cars that Ford now is going to start making in Mexico, do you suppose he understands that that 35% tariff will not be paid by Ford in the end? It will be paid by American consumers?
Well, that's not necessarily true. First off, Ford's going to be competitive. They're going to sell their cars at what it takes to sell their cars at. So I totally disagree that the idea that the American consumer is going to foot that bill.
So Ford will willingly take a 35% tariff?
Whether they willingly take it or not, all right, that would be the case. And, whether they're able to pass it along to the consumers is another matter. They've got plenty of competition out there. The goal is not to put 35% tariffs on anybody, but to get a better agreement worked out, and there are a lot of issues that need to be addressed. But just to go back to the Ford example that you mentioned a minute ago, it's great that Ford is not going to cut its workforce in the United States. But it would be even better if the small car manufacturing stayed here too. There would be even more jobs. There wouldn't be a flat job situation. It'd be an increasing job situation if those cars were not made in Mexico and they were made in the United States.
Well, sir, we are adding jobs in this economy. Every month.
We're not adding anywhere near enough jobs, as witnessed by the 1.9% average GDP growth rate over the last 10 years or more, and the 1.1% recently. So while we've created jobs, we've created low-paying jobs. And over this period of time, we've lost over 5 million high-paying manufacturing jobs and high-paying jobs that breed off of the manufacturing facilities in every community.
Do you suppose that Mr. Trump's trade policies will actually bring back high-paying manufacturing jobs to this country if companies can more economically, right? And you're a businessman and you know this. If you can make more money building your things overseas, why are you going to bring jobs back here?
That is such a great point, Kai. It's such a great point because Mr. Trump's entire economic plan, including his trade policy, are designed to increase our global competitiveness. That doesn't mean we're going to move away from globalization. There's no chance of that. globalization is here to stay, but it's gotten to an extreme to where now it's doing more harm than good for our economy. And I'll tell you how I know that, because we have a $13 trillion accumulated trade deficit since 1990 in goods, manufactured goods. That's because we bought into a failed economic model that said somehow we could forget about being a nation that makes things and builds things and somehow be a nation that services things, and we got to get back to being a nation that makes and builds things.
So let me make sure that I understand what you're saying. You are, as Mr. Trump has said, what we want to do is get back to old-line manufacturing jobs in this country. We want to bring back the steel and the coal.
It's not old-line. Old-line is your terminology. Steel industry is one of the most modern, innovative steel industries in the world. We employ all of the technology that the tech companies have developed. They include not only the 30% of the steel industry that's disappeared in this country, but the aluminum industry, the glass industry. That's not a question of bringing buggy whips back. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about bringing back current industries that are in current manufacturing that's being done around the world instead of here.
Dan DiMicco, former chairman and chief executive of Nucor Steel. He is currently a senior trade advisor to the Donald Trump campaign. Mr. DiMicco, thanks very much for your time, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you.